Now I have an AT-40 extra, a number two smash called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the song in which singer Gordon Lightfoot told the true story of 29 men who drowned in a storm on Lake Superior back in 1975.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Lightfoot sang a song about a boat that sank in the lake at the break of the morn.
Top five songs about death, okay? Leader of the pack. The guy f***ing beefs it on his motorcycle and dies, right? Dead Man's Curve, Jan and Dean.
Do you know that right after they recorded that song, Jan himself crashed his...
It was Dean, you f***ing idiot.
It was Jan. It was a long time after this.
Okay, whatever.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Gordon Lightfoot.
Bastard, that's so good, that should have been mine.
The wreck of this ship that sank on November 10th, 1975, lies 530 feet below the surface of Lake Superior, broken in two sections. Jennifer.
What is the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Good for you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Boys in the hood always are.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Like old Hawk goes, she's annoyed me.
Roll another one.
I don't like hearing women.
Just like the other one.
No, that's not true.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I have an idea. Chicken
I
burger.
Need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
I don't even know what the Edmund Fitzgerald is.
Right?
Roll. Roll another one.
Oh, dear.
Just like.
And now,
if Bean would have been on that ship that day, he would have sank to the ocean floor. We'd laugh, we'd clap, we'd cheer all day because Bean would be no more. Yes, Bean would be no more.
Our feature presentation.
Right? Right, who's with me?
Oh, no. Oh, we're losing Bean.
Oh, what's happening?
Yeah.
I felt like we were fine a minute ago.
What's going on?
Technical connection problem?
Yeah, bad connection.
Oh,
can you guys hear me?
Sorry.
Bad.
Every few seconds, yes.
Yeah.
Why does this happen over and over again?
Weird.
No. I can't hear what?
So, Kevin.
Is there music playing?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. The music is making it staticky. Maybe stop the music, Bean?
Oh, great idea. Because there's nothing on this one. I don't know what you're talking about.
I wish you were. Oh, this is sad.
Oh. All right. Bye, Bean.
Bye. Hey, I'm right here, you guys.
Yeah.
You get the 4.5 hours to the today on the program. Sorry, what? Oh, now you're coming.
Oh, yeah. See, no music. You're fine.
It worked. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank God. We got past that.
Man, that's
worried. We're going to be going live to Whitefish Point in Michigan in a few minutes.
Oh, no.
Check in with our correspondent there on the scene.
Oh, man. Is there bad weather?
Great Lake Shipwreck Museum?
Kevin, if you had to choose, you're locked in a room and you have to listen to 8 hours.
What?
Either The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald or Halloween Spooks. Which one do you choose?
Halloween Spooks all day.
Yeah.
Really? You hate Halloween Spooks?
Yes. Yes. But the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald is the worst song ever because...
Best song ever, right.
It's just plodding and just... It's 19 minutes long and...
But it tells one of the most compelling stories in maritime history.
It's about a shipwreck that happened like 45 years ago. Who gives a crap?
42 today.
Who gives a crap? How many people have died since then? A lot. You should be celebrating them every day, right?
Just during this beginning segment.
Right? Why are you so obsessed with that one? Honestly.
Why is the world so obsessed with that one, by the way? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, I urge you to check out this week's edition of Thanks to That Podcast Bean, because we do a deep dive into the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's still a mystery as to what brought it down.
Right.
But I think the reason a lot of people are still consider it is because it was the last of the major shipwrecks on the Great Lakes. And because it's a mystery as to why it went down and the fact that 29 people died. I think all of those things combined to make it just a it was the Titanic of the Great Lakes, Kevin. It was the biggest ship on the Great Lakes. And it went down and no one knows why.
Right.
That's the
42
kind of
42 years ago.
Right, but that's the kind of mystery that people don't get over.
Yeah, I think most people have gotten over it. Believe
agree
most people
disagree.
Are over it.
I think you'll see if
plus,
you ask.
Plus, there's a super crappy song about it.
Well, the song
that
is
doesn't
a
help. Either.
Wonderful, wonderful tribute.
Right.
I've never listened to the whole thing, so
you
I don't even know how the wreck finishes.
It's not possible.
I assume it just sinks and people are like, no.
You always just pass out like partway through?
Probably like 26 minutes in.
I'm
out.
Yeah. I've heard about a third of it.
Yeah. Does not have a happy ending. I will die.
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert. Oh. No one survives. Mm. So, well, we got a lot of coverage planned on the program today.
Yeah,
if my connection.
I hope it
just
holds
concerned.
Because right now it's good, but.
Mm. Yeah. Well, let me just test this and see
all
if.
Right. Oh, see?
That's
really?
Yeah,
it's definitely the music. Yeah.
That's so
weird.
Yeah.
It was fine, though.
That's
I know,
so
but it must just be the music.
Yeah.
Like the station's saying, no, that's too dull.
Yeah, there must be like a code in it that's sending.
Uh-huh.
And then everyone's like,
that's sad, because we really wanted to listen to that song a lot today.
Yeah.
We got a big program planned for you, but I want to start with this. This is I don't get why Steve Ludwin of London started doing this, but nearly 30 years ago, he decided that he was going to start injecting himself with poisonous snake venoms.
Oh, I love these people.
Oh.
These people are crazy.
It sounds very crazy what I'm doing,
yeah.
But it turns out that it potentially has a lot of health benefits, he says.
Mm-hmm.
For this reporter, he demonstrated his decades-old habit by firmly holding the head of a green Pope's tree viper, which is a very, very venomous snake, and extracting a few drops of its venom. Minutes later, he injected the fluid into his arm using a syringe. He does it every day.
Yep.
Wow.
Now,
love it.
So he doesn't just let the snake bite you, right? It sounds like he extracts the venom and then uses it in a syringe. Because why?
You don't
because
get the snake control.
Because the snake bite, though, might cause an infection or something like that. I guess it's a little more controllable if you just deal with the venom.
Yeah, plus you want it straight to the vein, right? That snake might be all willy-nilly. That's not my vein, snake.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It would miss the vein, yeah. Over the years, Mr. Ludwin has injected the venom of some of the world's most dangerous snakes, including black mamba and cobras.
Wow.
Why do you suppose he is doing it, you guys?
Boners.
All right,
that's
one guess.
That's a pretty good guess.
Thank you.
One
that's
guess?
A pretty good guess.
Boy, that's a lot of effort to go to for a boner.
I mean, the man loves his boners.
He claims it has strengthened his immune system so much that he has not suffered so much as a cold in the last 15 years. He did say he has had quite a few accidents, though, that he once ended up in London Hospital's intensive care unit for 3 days following an overdose.
Ooh.
It's a very dangerous thing. Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of difficult to know exactly how much venom to put in you.
Well, that
you're
black
kind of walking
mama,
the
did
line.
You say? The
yeah.
Black, that one's supposed to kill you like in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even have an anti-venom for it because it works so fast. It's not worth it. You can't get
to it. Yeah.
Can't get to the anti-venom.
He said he ended up in the intensive care for 3 days following an overdose. It's a very dangerous thing to do. I don't encourage people to do it. He says.
Yeah.
He also says that there's nothing pleasant about it. It's not like you're going on an acid trip. You don't trip. It's extreme pain.
Right.
So
stop with that.
Lots of great choices. Now, listen to this. This is where the story turns. Now a team of researchers at the University of Copenhagen are embarking on producing an anti-venom using the antibodies that he has created in his body from years of subjecting himself to poison. When he injects venom, his immune system responds. What we expect to find is to copy his antibodies, isolate them, test them, and eventually set up a production of them. They think that they are going to be able to come up with more snake antidotes as a result of what this nut job has been doing in his house all these years.
Huh.
So how
about
that?
Can you imagine his entire group of friends and family, like he has any, are totally mocking him his whole life.
Yeah.
And then they come to him and they go, you might be the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
He may end up saving thousands of lives, by the way. If it is successful, it would be the first human-derived anti-venom made from a donor who has injected himself with different snake venoms. Apparently, up till this point, the best they've been able to do is collect antibodies from some animals that have been given venom. I hope that's not what that's not animal research they're doing, is it? Where they're intentionally injecting you with venom to try to create antibodies?
Sounds like 100% like yeah. That's what that is.
Sounds like that's where they're getting anti-venoms from, I guess.
Right.
I just thought that was super interesting. All right, last fun fact here. How many people do you estimate, guys, are bitten by snakes every year?
In the United States?
Worldwide?
Around the world.
Oh.
Around the world. Bitten by snakes every year.
Three. No, four. Four.
Yeah, I'd say higher.
Higher.
Yeah, I'd say probably...
Eight or nine?
No, like 170,000.
170,000. How about you, Chip? You got a guess?
500,000.
Well, Chip would be closest. 5.4 million.
Wow.
5.4 million. Yeah.
Another reason not to hike.
Right.
Worldwide are bitten by snakes every year. Between 80 and 140,000 die every year by snake bites.
Not if this guy has his way, right?
That's right. That's right. Science and perhaps future snake bite victims can express their gratitude toward Steve's endeavors, they say. So we'll keep an eye on that and see if they end up developing something from that. But, I mean, the guy sounds like a dumbass. But like you said, Kevin, he's going to get the last laugh.
Yeah.
He ends up, winning like a Nobel Prize for medicine or something because he figures out a way to save 100,000 lives a year.
Although he can't pick it up because he's dead.
Oh, Steve.
He's going to have that going for him.
Rest in peace.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
It's crap. Garbage. Turn it off. No more. Kevin, stop it.
Why me specifically?
You're
so cold about Sam.
Because you're bringing the bad news here.
I'm bringing
the
pain?
That's right.
On today's schedule, we have great news.
Oh, worked. Yeah.
Perfectly.
That's good.
RJ Bell in Las Vegas gives us his picks for the NFL Week 10.
I missed the end of the Cardinals game last night. I assume they won. Kevin, they're your team. You
I
root
didn't
for them.
Watch
you
the
love
end of
them.
The Cardinals game.
Have you given up on this season? Once your quarterback went down, you were out.
Yes, not really. But when there's a Kings game on, that takes preference.
Gotcha.
Kings got killed too. All right, so we've got tickets for Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We're going to talk to Chad Smith, the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
He's got a great new series that looks fantastic. It's called Landmarks Live in Concert, and this is Foo Fighters at the Acropolis. And it looks like it's shot beautifully, and it's really, it looks like an amazing thing. So
great bands and great places.
Can't wait to talk to him. Keep it 100 on the show today. And Gilbert Gottfried joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. That's a weird dude right there.
I didn't know much about him personally until I watched this documentary.
Most people didn't. He kept a secret lie. Yeah.
Yeah. Delightful.
He's delightful.
He's delightful. His wife, good Lord, might be a saint.
Right.
I'm really excited to talk to him.
I am too. So he's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the LNOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Allie's in for Ralph Garman. One more day with a look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
I'd like to share with you what today is, doing all week.
Right.
Some guy tweeted me, I'm really going to miss you saying what the days are, but we get Ralph back, so yay. I was like, oh, yeah, I get it. Today is Forget Me Not Day.
Oh, sure.
Sesame Street Day. Vanilla Cupcake Day. International Accounting Day, also known as Accountants Day, in case you don't know any international ones. Area Code Day, where we just really celebrate heaven hoes, different area codes, imagine.
Sure. How about that 714, huh?
Oh, my God, I love it.
Right?
One of my favorites. Big ups, 805. And USMC Day, 204.
How many years?
242 years ago. The Marine Corps was formed.
Did I ever tell you a story, Allie, about me pulling up an extra car at a stoplight and having a conversation about the founding of the Marine Corps. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
I'm driving down the road. This is a few years ago. I'm in Seattle, and I pull up next to a car that I see whose light they have a customized license plate, and it's 11/10/75. Mm-hmm. The anniversary of the Marine Corps, right? Well, I got all excited because I assume it's the Edmund Fitzgerald. I assume I've just encountered in the wild a fellow Fitz fan.
Oh, dear Lord.
So I start, you know, giving the guy the big thumbs up, and he looks over at me kind of weird, and I'm, you know, waving at him, and he's still looking at me, and eventually he rolls down his window, and I said, hey, the license plate, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the anniversary day. He said, what are you talking about? I said, November 10th, 1975. He said, it's the anniversary of the founding of the Marine Corps, you dumbass.
Yes.
What he says to me.
He
you
speaks for
dumbass.
All of us. Yeah. He speaks for all of us.
Which was November 10th, 1775.
Yeah. Did so he then yell, you can't handle the truth? And he sped away.
So I was only off by 200 years, but it was kind of embarrassing that I just assumed the one thing and it turned out to be maybe
it's understandable,
the other,
knowing how we all feel about the wreck.
Well, I know. That's what I thought. I thought too. But then I drove around thinking, well, that guy's better than I am, and I'm apparently a dumbass. Yeah. So I learned my lesson. So I'll never forget today being the anniversary of the founding of the Marine Corps for sure.
And let's just celebrate that on 11/10.
Okay. Well, I think both are worth a mention.
Not
but
really,
I just,
though. Not really.
I just thought
not in the same breath.
Interesting that they that I made that mistake.
Right.
Yeah. We've got a lot to talk about this morning, including Louis C.K. Yeah, having some problems.
Mm.
Not good. Not good at all.
He's the one who's running for the Senate in Alabama, right?
No, that's a politician named Moore. That's a whole other thing.
A different guy who's even creepier.
Yeah, well, I don't want to rank creepiness because it's all real bad. We'll also talk a little Jeremy Piven, who's been accused for the third time now, three different women. We'll do a roundup of Despicable coming up. But let's talk about the best news.
Okay.
You know Rian Johnson, Star Wars The Last Jedi, directed
sure.
it.
Sure.
Huge, huge movie that's coming out on December 15th. Well, it was announced yesterday by Lucasfilm that they will create a brand new Star Wars trilogy, the first of which he is also set to write and direct. Yes.
Now, does this have any relation to the current movies?
No. It's separate from a Skywalker saga, and Johnson is going to introduce new characters from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never before explored. Oh my God.
Why not, right?
Why not?
Right?
Why not? And here's the thing. Remember Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm? She's going in and kind of plucking directors right out, saying, nope, not working. You're out. Nope.
Right.
Things
that was a little scary.
Weren't going well. Well, listen to what she said about working with Rian. We all loved working with Rian on The Last Jedi. He's a creative force, and watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys of my career.
Sweet.
Rian will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy.
That's high praise. High praise.
High praise.
And
huge.
Not just a new movie, but a trilogy. That's awesome.
A trilogy. So I immediately went to Twitter. Saw people freaking out, like I was, and then later saw Rian Johnson's tweet. Obviously, I hope you like The Last Jedi, but man, now I really hope you like The Last Jedi.
That's a lot of pressure. You
That's
don't think about that,
so
right?
So much pressure. Oh, I laughed at that.
For folks who don't know the name, by the way, he's probably best known for that movie Looper a couple years ago. I'm sure you saw it, Emily. It was Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Sure.
Emily Blunt, really, really cool.
All I remember is they
movie.
Shot the guy, and then he came back to life, and then they shot the guy over again.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's done some other stuff. He directed a bunch of Breaking Bad episodes. He's done a bunch of other stuff, but he's a very talented guy, and I'm so excited to see what he does, not only with the Last Jedi, as you mentioned, but with what he's got going forward.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Brick, a lot of people yesterday were, if you haven't seen Brick, it's pretty much his greatest thing. I mean, get with it, you guys. Like hipster Rian Johnson fans.
Sure.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's talk about some birthdays today. Actor Tracy Morgan is 49. Actress Ellen Pompeo is 48. Rapper Warren G, 47. Miranda Lambert, 34. Diplo is 39. Actor Taron Egerton?
Sure.
Yeah, we love him. He's 28, and like I had mentioned, the United States Marine Corps turns 242 years old today. Do they really turn 242? Or
I'm not positive how that works.
When it was founded in 1775. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
We're going to go back to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for our correspondent on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary. That's coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. 42 years since the ship went down. And, of course, our annual remember. Oh, wait, what's happening with the signal again?
I don't know.
Are you guys not hearing me okay?
A lot of distortion.
Wow. It seemed like it was fine before I started talking about the fifth.
Yeah. To me, too.
First, though, how about some great news? Nope, not yet. Wait for the buzz. How about some... Nope, not... Again, I say how about some nothing and then bring up the thing for great news. Okay.
Okay.
First, though, how about some... Great news. Come on.
You said, I say, how about some nothing? And you left out nothing.
Hit the button. Oh, no, that means pause.
Hit the button.
Just silence. Go ahead, Bean.
How about some...
You said hit the button. Okay, I don't know what you want. I'm really trying my best here.
It's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
All right, first a follow-up on the story that we did last week.
Oh.
And that was the 74-year-old man whose wife needs a kidney transplant. And he was looking for a donor, and he didn't know what to do. So he had one of those sandwich boards with an advertisement that says, need kidney for wife, here's the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Local TV station picks it up, got 800 calls per day.
Wow.
Whoa.
And found a donor.
Whoa.
And this is awesome, he said, before he said, if my wife gets a kidney, I'm going to keep walking for the cause. He's still out there.
Oh, wow.
Still walking to help other people who need kidney transplants. How about that?
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
That's pretty cool. And my story today, my great news.
Weird.
Yeah.
Worked fine.
Captain Elisa Sieber Johnson. This is, of course, Veterans Day. Learned that she'd be training as a U.S. Marine in Quantico, Virginia for 6 months. It was good news, bad news. She'd been living in barracks. She would be living in barracks where dogs aren't allowed.
Oh.
And because her husband, Lieutenant Sean Johnson, was scheduled to deploy with the Navy around the same time, the couples had no idea what to do with their dog, J.D. She said, my husband and I got J.D. when we were first married. He was our first baby. He's such a spark of personality and is completely loyal. So they had no idea what to do. And they eventually found a temporary foster home for the dog, but the experience led the couple to create Dogs on Deployment. It's a nonprofit that connects members of the military with civilians to board their pets when the need arises.
Oh my gosh.
How about that? And it just came out of they needed some place to keep their dog.
Yeah.
So why are they in such bad speaking terms with their family? Why don't they have any friends?
I'm not positive that's the point here.
I'm just saying, it seems like he should know somebody that will look after
your
dog,
right? So they created Dogs on Deployment, and thanks to a network of volunteer foster families across America, more than 1,100 pets have found temporary care since 2011.
That's incredible.
That is a great idea, actually.
Including dogs, cats, hamsters, guinea pigs, turtles, snakes, rabbits, and chickens.
Well, sure, you have pets, and then you get deployed.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
I will look after any service person's turtle, if you would like me, so I'd be happy to watch after your turtle for you. If you're going away.
I'll hook you up with the phone number a little later.
Thank you.
So that's my great news.
That was lovely. My great news. Really?
I tried.
My great news has a video that accompanies it.
Okay.
That you're gonna want to watch in a little bit. But
now, what's the setting on my radio if I want to see that now?
I mean, seriously, we all know how hard it is to ask somebody to a dance, whether it's homecoming, prom. Now add on top of that, that you have Down syndrome and you're at a school and you've asked countless girls.
Oh, no.
And they've all said no. Well, that's what happened to a young man named Daniel. He's 17, always dreamed of going to the homecoming, but kept getting turned down. Well, that's when a 10th grader named Kylie stepped up, and she asked him herself.
Shadow Ridge student heard a special needs student was looking for a date to homecoming, so she went out of her way to ask him to the dance.
I don't think of kids that have a disability. I don't think of them as being different. I think of them just being a normal person learning in a different way.
Someone took the time to take my son to homecoming. Words can't describe what I'm feeling.
Okay, that, by the way, I bawled throughout this whole video. I'm just going to tell you right now. So then something amazing happens. A local TV station there called the Fox 5 Surprise Squad shows up.
I want to be on the Surprise Squad.
It's a thing, and it's amazing. They show up, and they've got a Rolls Royce, and they're like, listen, we are treating you guys to a whole night of surprises.
You guys are awesome. You know, it's not about that Daniel has a disability. It's Kylie didn't see any disabilities. That is like
what your heart wants as a mom.
And let me just say, this girl, Kylie, she's being interviewed by this news station, and every answer is, well, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Kylie was raised right. Kylie is a beautiful, beautiful young girl. So they get to their dinner, and it's at this really nice place. Daniel's mom is crying again because she could never afford to eat there. She thinks it's such a blessing that her son is getting to experience this. Then they get to the prom, or I'm sorry, homecoming, red carpet entrance for them.
Oh, that's pretty
Daniel
cool.
Daniel is just beaming. It's just some of the most beautiful video. Then they're surprised with, oh, hey, by the way, we're sending both of your families to Disneyland.
Wow.
Then the best part. Daniel mentions in the story that all he wants to do when he graduates is go on to college. And you'll remember earlier in the video, his mom's crying because she can't even afford to go to this dinner place. Local car company, it's a Nissan dealership, gives Daniel a $10,000 scholarship for school.
Wow.
Unreal. And then they bring Kylie outside of homecoming. Here's your brand new car. A Nissan Sentra. Like, everything that they did to surprise this couple, Kylie for her kindness and her inspiration, and Daniel for just being this love bug that wanted to go to homecoming and now wants to go to college. It is such a beautiful, beautiful story. And between his smiling, and then he breaks down at one point, and he's just like, my parents are so proud of me. It's, oh, I'm telling you, it's so good, and it's so good to see people with good hearts, and that's my great news.
All right, and I'll close it out this week with a young man named Tyler Karash. He just turned 10 this week, and he is from Florida. About a year ago, no, I don't need it until the very end. About a year ago, he, by the way, has a law enforcement in his family and has always been a big fan of police officers. About a year ago, he saw some deputies when he was out, and he asked his mom if he could buy donuts for them. And she said, sure. So he bought 4 donuts for them.
That's insulting, and carried, right?
What's that?
That's insulting, right?
Well,
hey, cop, have a donut, right?
But is he buying into the stereotype? Is that what you're saying?
I think this is a problem.
He was 9 at the time, and he said he wanted to buy donuts for the cops to show the appreciation for the work that they do. And the deputies were very touched by that, and he asked his mom, why were they so, so happy? And she said, well, it's not just that cops love donuts, because they do, but they appreciated that you were showing your gratitude, Tyler, because oftentimes that's not the case. Police officers don't often hear thank you out on the job, and that's why it meant so much. And he got an idea at that time that he's now known as the Donut Boy. He said to his mom, I want to go to all 50 states and give donuts to police officers. He is more than halfway there now, a year later, has delivered over 36,000 donuts.
Wow.
And it's become a thing. In fact, he was just in Long Beach last week. That was his California stop. It's become a thing where he shows up and he goes to the police station, and now he's got all sorts of donut shops that are involved that are giving him lots of donuts to hand out to all the police officers. And usually they give him like a little police outfit, and they have a little celebration and a party. And it's just kind of raising awareness of police officers not being told thank you that much. And he is Donut Boy. He just turned 10 this week, by the way.
Donut Boy.
Oh, Donut Boy's only 10.
He's Donut Boy.
I
mean, that's quite an inspiration, I think. Yeah. His next stops include South Dakota and Minnesota. It doesn't say it in the article, but I wonder how on board his mom is with this whole plan. I wonder if his mom's like, seriously, Tyler, we have to go to Alaska now? We got to go to 50 states handing out goddamn donuts? Well, there are no cracks in the story so far. The family seems to be very much enjoying it. The police departments all over the country
no
are enjoying it.
No cracks in the story so far?
So far. Well, I'm just saying,
like,
look.
He leaves the opportunity out there.
When Donut Boy becomes a sociopath killing people along the way.
Look, I mean, this whole thing could fall apart, but he's having the...
Policemen are fat. Film
he's having the time of his life, by the way. He is meeting police dogs and police horses. He got to check out a police SWAT truck recently. He got to try out a gas mask. So the officers love having him there. And, of course, they love the free donuts because you know how they are. And this has been my great news. Give me the goddamn... Come on, Kevin.
It was on.
Great news.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas coming up next with his picks for the NFL for Week 10.
And then Gilbert Gottfried's going to be joining us in studio.
That's correct.
Allie, you've always enjoyed Gilbert's work, but it sounds like now you have a new appreciation for the man.
I appreciate him. I appreciate his wife. Mm-hmm. I appreciate his two sisters. Mm-hmm. Their neighbors. Their children. I really enjoyed that documentary. It was lovely.
Yeah, we're going to talk all about it and tell you how you can see Gilbert in person tonight after a screening of the movie. First, though, Allie's in for Rob with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Yeah. Yesterday, right after the show, Twitter started talking about how the Louis C.K. movie, I Love You, Daddy, had just canceled their premiere for the film that night in New York City. And then a lot of people were speculating, ooh, it's because word is about to come out in an article about things that have been talked about for a while about Louis C.K. and him doing some not great things at all. Turns out that article was published, and in it, five women have come forward and said he's done everything from masturbated in front of them, asked them to watch him, or been on the phone and done that. Just a pattern of inappropriate behavior, just bad all around. Well, now some of the fallout begins. FX released a statement saying, "We're obviously very troubled by the allegations about Louis C.K. The network has received no allegations of misconduct related to any of our five shows produced together over the past 8 years. Yada, yada. But currently under review." And I knew that FX was home to Louis, and I knew he was one of the executive producers of Better Things that he writes with Pamela Adlon. I didn't know he's also executive producer of Baskets. So essentially every single one of my favorite shows he is a part of. So they're going to be looking into that. And HBO has announced that they're removing his projects from their on-demand service, including his sitcom Lucky Louie and his various comedy specials. He's also been disinvited to the upcoming special Night of Too Many Stars, which is an event hosted by Jon Stewart, which benefits an organization called Next for Autism. So things aren't looking so good for Louie. They're not sure what they're going to do about the movie, but already the stars of the movie are backing away. Charlie Day says he's appalled to read the allegations. He's not going to be promoting the movie any further. And it turns out Chloe Grace Moretz, who plays his daughter in the movie, dropped out of promotion 2 weeks ago when she started hearing things that were going to be coming down the line. So, good Lord,
that's
man.
Not good.
Stop it. Thank you. That is my takeaway for that. Coming up, though, some amazing opportunities for you. If you'd like to make, I don't know, 10 grand a month to live in Cancun. $10,000 a month.
To live in Cancun?
To live in Cancun. You're going to have to do really hard things like post on social media and take pictures of yourself doing amazing things like sipping margaritas and hiking. I'm going to tell you how you can get involved in that coming up in just a little bit.
Why don't you tell us right now?
I don't want to.
Okay,
we're out of time.
All right.
All these stars were born today, November 10th. Well, the United States Marine Corps. Yes. Founded in 1775. making the Marine Corps 242. Actor Tracy Morgan is 49. Warren G is 47. Diplo is 39. Taron Egerton is 28. And Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World is 42. Thank you to the young lady on Twitter that alerted me, because I don't know if you remember this. He was here, and Bean brought it up to him that he shares a birthday with the freaking wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Hey, you guys. Yay. This is Jim from Jimmy Eat World. Bean, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Right.
That's hurtful.
That's how Jim we all feel. Jim speaks for all
and
of us.
Disrespectful. Correct.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Legendary comedian Gilbert Gottfried in the green room. He'll be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Friend RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Tough week last week, RJ, 1-2. You're still above 500 for week 10 of the NFL. How are you feeling today?
You know, our goal is to make money. We made money in year 1, 2, and 3. We're going to do it in year 4, baby.
Before, don't ever call me baby again.
It
was the audience. The audience.
I see. Hey, listen, before we get into this week's picks, I was fascinated by something you posted this week, which is that the Rams, our own Los Angeles Rams, entered the season at a 500-1 long shot to win the Super Bowl. So if you're one of those people who's so excited to have football back in Southern California, and you put, you know, you put a bunch of money down on it, man, are you looking pretty smart right now? And where are they now? How are the Rams looking now after their great first half?
Yeah, really impressive. Exceeded expectations. The expected number of wins on the season was 4.5.
Wow.
So they've exceeded expectations in the first half of the year for the entire season. Right now, guys, there's only 5 teams in the NFL with better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Rams. Right now, they're 16-1. So before the season, 500-1.
Oh, man.
Now 16-1.
That's the perfect bet. A lot of people are going to be really excited. I mean, if you're a hardcore Rams fan, this is a dream come true. And if you can win some money on top of that, why not, right?
Well, not to mention, there's a ton of optimism for the future. As great as it would be for the fans to win this year, I mean, you got a young quarterback, you got a young coach. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with this week's picks from RJ Bell. The big dog involves our Cleveland Browns. Are they ever, ever, ever going to win a game? They got the Lions this weekend. RJ, what say you?
Well, we know it's a big dog, so it means the Browns. Now, listen, I've stayed away from the Browns. Kind of in Vegas, you go to a buffet, it's like $9.95, you eat a lot, and then your stomach gets upset, you swear, I'm not going back to that buffet. Mm-hmm. But usually about 3 or 4 weeks later, you go back, right?
Right.
I'm back on the Browns.
So you're going back to the Browns. All right.
Here is the trend of the year, perhaps. If you have an 0-5 team or worse, that's the Browns, they're worse than 0-5, and you have 10 or more days rest, and they got a bye coming in, 18-3 against the spread. 18 winners, 3 losers. Here's the logic. You got 2 weeks. All you're doing is hearing the radio guys, the newspaper guys, the net guys complain about how bad you are. And you're like, okay, we just got to get this win and shut these people up. 18-3 shows that's what happens. You look at Detroit, they won on Monday Night Football, so everyone's high on them. But that means they have one less day to prepare. And this is the biggest favorite Detroit has been in over 20 years. They're not used to this. Big dog, Browns plus 11.
How about that?
I was really surprised to see you picking Cleveland Browns, but then I was more surprised to see plus 11.
Exactly.
That's huge.
That's the only time you're batting the Browns.
Exactly, yeah. Give me plus 20 and maybe we can talk, RJ. All right, best bet of the week. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hosting the New York Jets.
Yeah, Tampa, here's the pick, plus 2.5. You know, Jets entered the year, we talked about the Rams not having expectations, as the worst team of the decade. We do power ratings, and the Jets had the lowest rating of the last decade. If this game would have been played in week one, Tampa would have been a 2-touchdown favorite, a 14-point favorite. Now they're getting points. So teams are never as good as they seem. They're never as bad as they seem. And I think this has been an extreme reaction. Now, why? It's because Winston's out, the quarterback for Tampa Bay. That's moved the line a good bit. But I think it might be a net neutral that he's out because he's been injured. So now you've got a capable backup, Fitzgerald coming in, or Fitzpatrick, excuse me. He's capable. And there's been a lot of drama with Winston. And now that he's sidelined, that's really not there anymore. I don't love Tampa Bay, but this is a pure value play. Tampa at home getting the points.
All right, and finally this week with R.J. Bell, the big game. We saw what the Green Bay Packers are like without Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football. Now they go into Chicago to play the Bears. What do you think?
We might be stretching calling this the big game, but I wanted the three best picks, right? We got the Bears minus 5.5. You know, we always talk about don't overreact to the way a team plays, but you can react aggressively if a team can play or not, finding that out. And we found that out on Monday night. Brett Hundley really can't play. I mean, it was an ideal situation. He had a bye. He had an extra day on Monday night. It was at home. And he just could not perform. So now he's got to go on the road and try to do it on short rest. And listen, the Bears have Mitch Trubisky. He's not great, but he's competent. And he's willing to run. And that's important with a young quarterback that can run occasionally and get some yards. Chicago plays well at home this year especially. And listen, guys, let's get emotional just one second. The Bears have lost 13 of the last 15 against the Packers. They've only won 2 of the last 15. Now they're favored. They have a chance to get revenge. I think they're going to do it. Best or big game, Bears minus 5.5.
Kevin, I think the next Kevin Bean t-shirt, we got to give credit to R.J. Bell. Not great, but competent. I think that really describes our show.
And then on the back, you can say better than incompetent.
There you go. All right, recapping then, Cleveland Browns plus 11 at Detroit, Tampa Bay plus 2.5 hosting the Jets, and the Chicago Bears minus 5.5 hosting Green Bay Packers. You can get the rest of the football picks, including college, with R.J. Bell's Dream Preview podcast and also at pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Hey, Kevin and Bean listeners, if you put any money down, R.J. loves to hear about it, good or bad, on Twitter, at R.J. in Vegas. It's pregame.com. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Feeding your theories, we should check the toilet paper, make sure it's still there.
Gilbert is notoriously cheap, and he is probably in the K-Rock restroom right now looking if we have any kind of sample sizes, any kind of little shampoos.
Boy, is he going to be disappointed.
Extra toothbrushes. Look, we're lucky to have toilet paper in the bathrooms here at K-Rock. We're just going to wait for Gilbert. This is what I love about Gilbert Gottfried, by the way. We've known him for a long, long time. We've had him on the show for decades, on and off. But he's always a mystery. Like, you never know what is going to go down. When Gilbert is involved somehow, there's that element of surprise and danger. Mm-hmm. And that's what I enjoy
about
Gilbert.
Fun.
And he was here so early, too. This is what's great about Gilbert Gottfried. He was here like 45 minutes ago. He's been sitting around doing nothing.
Now he's sitting down doing something.
He is certainly doing something, yes. So 1 minute before he's supposed to come into the studio, he decides he has to poop. So that's the beauty of Gilbert. It's like he couldn't have timed this out a little differently.
But we broadcast from New York. We would ask Gilbert Gottfried to stop by. Mm-hmm. Famous comedian. He lives in the area. He would run by in his running shoes, just on his run, his morning run. He would stop up. We would do an interview, and then we would start talking to somebody else. And the next day, unscheduled, he would show up again in the exact same running outfit. I'm like, hey, Gilbert, welcome back. And then the next day, he would show up again. It was really weird. We were like, hey, what time do you think Gilbert would be here today? We only booked him for 1 day. I love him for that reason.
I was always happy to see him. And I'll never forget. And forgive me if we've told the story before. I'll never forget that he just stopped by when we had P. Diddy in the studio with us.
Oh,
I think Puff
right.
Daddy at the time. And Puff was not down with Gilbert. He was like, Gilbert, it's too loud, man.
Yeah, that's
too loud.
Puff, Diddy, Love, Brother Love, whoever he is, was hungover bad. And
yes.
Gilbert Gottfried is not the voice that you want to hear
when you're hungover.
When you're hungover, necessarily. Oh. Hey, Gilbert.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm the voice you want to hear while you're having sex. Yeah.
How did it go in the K-Rock restrooms? Everything okay with you, Gilbert?
It was gender specific. So
it was gender neutral.
Gender neutral.
Very different.
Gender neutral. Yeah, specific means men's room, ladies' room.
Right.
So
not that at all.
Gender neutral. Right. I was very happy with your gender neutral bathroom.
We were speculating as we awaited your arrival if you were filling up your bag with toilet paper and other things that you may need down the road.
I wish. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, there's
like
nothing
that
in there.
And we knew you were looking.
Yeah. And
so we removed everything.
I wanted some.
We had to Gilbert proof it.
I wanted some gender neutral toilet paper. You know, I hate when it's too manly or too feminine.
Sure. Now, Gilbert, we have so many questions for you about this wonderful documentary.
Yes.
Let me get the plug out. It's called Gilbert, A Gilbert Gottfried Story. It opens today at the Lemley in Santa Monica, and it'll be available on iTunes starting Tuesday. And it's so great, but why now are you peeling back the curtain? You've been a man of mystery in comedy for so many decades. Now, all of a sudden, we get to see inside your life and inside your home. Why'd you make this decision, Gilbert?
Because I've got 2 days to live.
Oh, that's
yeah,
sad.
I thought, wow. Damn it. I buried the lead on that one. No, I have... It came about so weird. The filmmaker, Neil Berkley, came up to me. He said, I've always dreamt of doing a Gilbert Gottfried documentary. And I said, you know, you should set your dreams a lot higher than that.
How's that your dream? Was that your question?
Yeah. I always felt like, you know, you should be dead for 20 years before they do a documentary. I want Ken Burns to do my next documentary where it takes place in the Civil War.
Well, you started. I think you were popular in the Civil War. Was it difficult for you to...
I haven't changed any of my jokes since the Civil War.
A lot of black people are very upset about that, too, Gilbert. Was it difficult for you, because you're someone who has so tightly controlled his image for so many years, to allow the access, to allow that camera to just follow you in the car and on the road?
I hated it.
You hated it?
Yeah, hated it. And in the film, they touch upon it where it's like... I always think of that scene from Wizard of Oz where it's like, you know, don't pay attention to that guy behind the curtain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like people would be too disappointed if they found out your real life?
Yeah. Just something I like.
I found out a lot about your life, and I was not disappointed at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, I think it's the opposite, Gilbert. I think people will fall in love with you all over again when they realize what a sweet family man you are. And first of all, you are a genuinely nice person. I feel like you have never been mean to anybody. You couldn't hurt a fly. And I think that comes across. I think you present very well in this movie, sir.
Although on the way in here, I beat and killed a kitten.
Gilbert.
Sorry.
Aww. As long as it's not a dog, we're cool. Yeah.
I wish I had not.
It had it coming.
Oh, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's one of those days.
What are you going to do?
On the weekend, I beat baby seals.
Okay.
Gilbert.
But really.
Now, this movie is Jay Leno and Howie Mandel and Dick Van Dyke and Jim Gaffigan and Whoopi Goldberg and Richard Belzer and Joe Piscopo and Jeffrey Ross and Lewis Black and Bill Burr and a whole bunch more. And basically, they're all saying, how did Gilbert Gottfried get a family?
That's
basically, they're all shocked.
Yes. I'm shocked. And I say in the movie, too, it's like I literally feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone episode. So I wake up and I go, wait a minute, this apartment actually looks decent.
They have food in the fridge.
Yeah, the furniture's not broken. There's not a stain on anything.
Your wife's a babe.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, well, your kids are beautiful. See? It's a great life. And you iron? That was my takeaway?
Yes.
That was your takeaway.
I iron.
It's what I got.
That's one of my few talents. Ironing. Yes.
You and your lovely bride. You talk about how you met and you asked her out. And I was curious. Was that difficult for you to ask her out? Were you a person who did not invite that very often?
I was never great at asking girls out. That was always horrible. For me.
Horrible.
I
thought you were going to say difficult. I didn't know you were going with straight
horrible.
Okay.
It goes straight to horrible.
All right.
It's like, with me, I'd work these clubs where I'd be, you know, the main act. And like, the opening acts would get laid telling people that they're opening for Gilbert Gottfried. And me, I was doing a Louis C.K. in my hotel room.
He has to be such a fan of his name now being used as a substitute for him. He's in the language now.
But in all fairness, I'm kind of old-fashioned, and I like to do it by myself. I don't know what these kids do nowadays, but in my day, you locked yourself in a room by yourself. And you felt more comfortable without people watching.
40 seconds later, you come out and you're fine.
Wow. Yes.
You know what I love the most about this documentary? There are such touching, beautiful moments, and you find yourself tearing up. And then, boom, you just nail someone with a line that you're like, God damn it, took me right out of it. It's unbelievable, especially singing with Dick Van Dyke. It was the most lovely moment. I'm not going to give away what you said, also because I can't say it on the air. But trust me, I was dying. It is such a delightful look into your life and how you relate to everyone around you.
Yeah, a couple of critics said, and this sounds like a phony blurb on a poster.
Right.
But a couple of critics said, you'll laugh, you'll cry.
But you're never sure why exactly.
Yeah.
But in this case, Allie, it was a good cry.
It was delightful.
Good cry. Were you scared of critics when this project came out?
Well, I if they're giving me good reviews,
I assume though in your mind you're thinking you're not going to get good reviews.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I feel like that's
absolutely. I'm always in shock when I get a good review.
Well, we have a lot more questions about Gilbert and about the movie. Again, it's called Gilbert, A Gilbert Gottfried Story. You can see it at the Lemley Santa Monica starting today. Now, you're doing something tonight with your director, Neil Berkley, and Howie Mandel is going to be there moderating. It's going to be a question and answer. You're going to be speaking up on stage after the screening at 7 p.m. tonight. Right, Gilbert?
Yes.
Fantastic.
It's like I always know when the announcer says what I'm doing. I'll go,
yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I'm doing that. Well, this information is accurate. More with our guest, Gilbert Gottfried. He's here. We'll return.
Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is joining us in studio.
Yes, Gilbert is here. He is a legend. We mentioned some of the people that are in the new documentary about Gilbert's life, and it's a who's who of comedy. And I wanted to play this one clip from the film. This is Anthony Jeselnik. And he's speaking for a lot of other comics about why we love Gilbert and how special he is.
I think that Gilbert, in the grand scheme of things, I would think of him as the ultimate comedian's comedian. You know, every comic loves him, has a deep, abiding love for him, and that is very rare. Comics love to hate their own. But Gilbert, I think, escapes all of that. Even the guys like George Burns. People hated George Burns. Guys like, who's the other one? The guy with the huge... Yeah, Milton Berle. There are way more stories of people who hated Milton Berle than anything else. I don't think you'll ever find a story about someone who hates Gilbert. And that in this business that's a unicorn.
It is a unicorn.
Why do you think that is?
I can't figure it out. It is true among comedians hating each other. And there's somebody, I forget whose line this was, but they said, how many comedians does it take to screw in a light bulb? 100. One to screw in the light bulb and 99 to go, how did he get a light bulb? He sucks.
Were you surprised by how kind your colleagues were speaking on the
movie? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked by it. Because, most comics, they do love to put down every other comic. Yeah.
Gilbert, why did you were successful for so long as a clean comedian. What flipped a switch to make you one of the filthiest people in America?
I don't know. I know for like years I would go out of my way. I would say, if the joke had to do with sex, I'd go have sex with. Rather than, or anything like that. And
was that a conscious choice at the beginning?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I would go out of my way to work clean. And it was like, because I you can bleep a word.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. with me. If you didn't have a delay, you'd have to invent one for me.
We'd have to be fired.
Yeah, yes. It was like with me. I would like sometimes watch TV, and the comedian's punchline would be, "And I wore a hat," and you go, "That's not funny." And then I would realize, oh, wait a second. The producers of this TV show saw him at a club, and then that got a big laugh.
Right.
And the producers thought, hey, that's a great joke. We just should
take out that
word. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Something that I found really interesting, and I started thinking about comics now that I know and I really like, they don't have this aspect, and Joy Behar brought it up, that the audience really doesn't have anything to do with your performance. And sometimes you're at the point where you're actually defiant with the audience. Like, you're not laughing, let me go overboard.
Oh, yes.
And then you take it to a whole nother level. And I feel like maybe comics nowadays are too afraid to do that because they need the laugh, and you don't seem to.
Yeah, I've given up on getting a laugh.
Has it ever just gotten worse and worse and worse and just ended horrible? Or are you able to win them over?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Good.
I've had some horrible, you know, it's so funny. Like when people say, oh, how would you feel about your kids going in comedy? Or when people come up to me on the street and say, oh, I'm starting to do comedy. I think, you know, I had stupidity on my side. You know, I like went, I'll have a career in show business. You know, not thinking of the odds or the rejection or any of that. And, but, oh, my God, I've been booed off stage.
I feel like that wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to a place where it doesn't bother you?
After a while, you just get used to it.
Isn't that something? Sad. You got a thick skin, Gilbert.
But then it's also a weird thing when you're a performer that it's that double personality thing where you're going into the business because I'm so great. Mm-hmm. People are going to spend their money and go any place where they could see me.
Right.
And then there's the other part of you going, oh, no, please love me. Please love me. Yeah.
That's interesting. You do deal with some of the controversies in your career in this documentary. If you're just joining us, we have our friend Gilbert Gottfried in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about the new documentary available everywhere on iTunes on Tuesday. And if you're a fan of comedy, you've got to get this.
Thank God I've stayed out of the press with my controversy.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should bring that up because the 9/11 Friars Club, you cover that very well in the movie. And then you got into what eventually ended up losing you an endorsement deal with the insurance company, with the Aflac Insurance Company. And we talked a lot about that at the time that it went down, and it really kind of created a debate about, look, you had every right to make those jokes. A lot of people thought they were funny. A lot of people thought they went too far. But, of course, the company had the right to fire you if they didn't like those jokes, too. But you never mentioned in the movie whether you regretted the jokes or not. And I wanted to ask you that, Gilbert.
I mean, I regret losing a job, but I don't regret the jokes. It's kind of like it's funny. It's like to be a comedian and go, I'm very, very sorry I made jokes.
Doesn't make any sense to you?
Well, in the movie, they have one newscaster very dramatically say, they're showing footage of the tsunami, and he goes, and to make matters worse, comedian Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, no.
And I got, I made it worse? I wield that much power?
After that incident, did you ever not say or tweet a joke because of the experience that you went through? Did you learn a lesson from that, or are you still of the same mindset you were at the originally?
I think of the same mindset. You know, it's like I think twice but do it anyway. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're still out there on the road many weeks a year, Gilbert, and it's because you're addicted to it, right? You love it. You miss it if you're off the road.
Well, it's kind of like keep doing stand-up because, you know, you dance with the one who brought you.
Right. Because you don't want to start a new career at this point?
Do you ever see a time where you won't get up on stage and tell jokes?
Oh, God. Well, I always have this fantasy when I'm about to go on stage that the manager of the club will come back and say, oh, we just had a fire or a flood, and here's your check. Go home. And I think I could easily make a career like that.
So you're saying as long as you kept scheduling gigs and they kept paying you, but you didn't have to do them.
Exactly.
You'd be happy.
Yes.
That seems very realistic.
That seems like a good plan. I'm in.
Quite a retirement plan. I like it.
Gilbert, you've had a really happy life, haven't you?
I don't know. I mean, one you know, you called me the rare happy comedian. I don't know. I get as depressed as anybody.
You don't see yourself as happy?
No. I'm one of those people. Like, the reason I had to stop smoking grass, that's what they called it back in my day.
Right.
What is it, weed now?
Sure.
It's like, because I would take a couple of puffs, feel incredibly happy, and then I go, what am I so happy about? And then I start thinking about it, and I get depressed, and I think everybody, you know, walking by the studio in a 100-block radius is listening in going, what the hell is he talking about? He's just rambling like. And I felt like I can do that on my own.
You need an assist?
Yeah,
for that?
Yeah. With me, if I'm walking down the street and I'm in a good mood, it strikes me. And I'll start saying, oh, okay, let's see all the things that are wrong with my life.
But wife and kids. Wife and kids.
Yeah.
Wife and kids.
Are they in the good or bad category?
Yeah.
I just met his wife during the break, and I told her that the scenes between them are my favorite in the documentary.
Oh, it's
your
a real love story.
Your relationship is so beautiful and so funny. I just want a whole documentary on YouTube. Can we do that next?
Yes.
Okay.
Be a sequel.
Thank you. You guys, you need to watch this just for the fact that Gilbert's very well known for taking things from places he goes to, whether it's cookies, chips, whatever, but mostly from hotels, soaps, shampoos, that type of thing.
Yes.
And she keeps them and vacuum seals them and puts it all under the bed in containers for you.
Yeah. I could really give those people in hoarders a run for
them. Why are you such a hoarder? We're sort of out of time, but
don't know.
And the cleanest, neatest house ever. She has it down to a science with you.
Yeah.
Thank God for her is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you live with her, right?
Gilbert, we don't have to tell you this because you know it. You are well-loved, sir. You are a national treasure. We're very excited about the movie. I hope our listeners will see it. Again, you can see it at the Lamley Monica question and answer with the director and moderated by Howie Mandel. That's tonight after the 7 p.m. showing. And get the movie on iTunes when it comes out next Tuesday. Don't make it so long in between visits to the Kevin Bean Show, Gilbert.
Oh,
you're welcome anytime, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, so the movie's called Gilbert, and my podcast is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
There you go. Thank you for coming.
And if anyone would like to watch me masturbate.
All right.
Orlando sees alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Morrissey at the Hollywood Bowl tonight and tomorrow night. We'll tell you how you can win your tickets in 5 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ali's in for Rob with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, last hour we discussed Louis C.K.'s horrible sexual misconduct that came out yesterday in the New York Times. 5 different women accused him of abusive sexual misconduct.
What about Gilbert Gottfried? He's advertising on the radio. Did you hear that?
I think he was poking fun.
Making a joke.
And it all began yesterday when the premiere of his film, I Love You, Daddy, canceled their premiere in New York City. And people were like, uh-oh, something's happening. And then the New York Times story came out and all sorts of things have been happening. Well, just a few minutes ago, the indie film company behind his movie confirmed they will no longer be releasing it in light of the sexual misconduct allegations leveled against the comedian. So it was due to come out in 7 days.
Oh, is that
right?
It's
scrapped.
Wow.
It's gone.
Our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter points out that they're a small company. They paid $5 million to get this movie to distribute it. And that's a big hit for them.
Yeah, not good. You know what is good?
What?
Rian Johnson, writer, director of Star Wars The Last Jedi. It was announced online yesterday and by Lucasfilm that he is now creating a brand new Star Wars trilogy. The first of which he is also set to write and direct. And this is completely separate from the episodic Skywalker saga. It's going to be all new characters from a corner of the galaxy that we've never explored. Oh, my God.
That does sound cool.
It sounds so great. And apparently, he's the one to do it because Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm, said this. We all loved working with Rian on The Last Jedi. He's a creative force. Watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys of my career. Rian will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy. So, wow. That's some respect from pretty much the highest up you can get in Star Wars world.
That's pretty cool.
No release date set for the film, but we all know that December 15th is when Star Wars The Last Jedi arrives in theaters. And I looked at his Twitter yesterday, and here was his tweet. Obviously, I hope you like The Last Jedi, but man, now I really hope you like The Last Jedi. I just think that's so funny because, my God, the pressure. And he's probably had this in his back pocket for a while.
Sure.
All while he's trying to finish up this movie, so... I have a feeling, Rian, we're going to be okay with it. I just have that feeling. What else you want to talk about? A job in Cancun that pays you $10,000 per month?
Yeah, tell me more about that.
All right, well, it has to do with Cancun.com. They are on the hunt for a CEO. That's a Cancun experience officer. Yeah, it's going to pay $10,000 per month and cover all expenses. It's a six-month job. So you're making $60,000.
And they're covering the expenses?
They're covering the expenses. Wow. But you know what, Kevin? It's not a six-month vacation. You're going to be expected to generate videos, social media posts, and blog posts. Okay.
All right. And that's
so
all you have to do?
You have to essentially go to places... Field trips, research, that type of thing, like climbing a 3,000-year-old pyramid or swimming with a whale shark or having cervezas or margaritas. Take pictures, generate videos, and blog about it. Holy crap. How do we get involved? Well, you have to send in a video plus a very thorough job application. Just go to Cancun.com. And they're going to pick the top 100 candidates in December, then weed that down to the top 50 on January 4th. So I don't know about you, but...
That sounds like a good gig.
Hey, did they say whether you have to speak Spanish or not?
It's actually on the application. It says, what language do you speak? And you check it off. And then in parentheses, it says, you do not have to speak Spanish.
I'm in then.
You have to go places and do things.
You have to go one place.
He'd be like, this hotel room's amazing. Look at all the shows I can watch.
Next day, this hotel room's amazing.
Got room service.
I ordered something different from the menu.
Hey, guys, some birthdays. Tracy Morgan is 49. Actress Ellen Pompeo is 48. Rapper Warren G is 47. Diplo is 39. Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World is 42. And the United States Marine Corps. Yes. Founded in 1775 on this date. That would make them 242. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
We've been talking to very sad Morrissey fans all week long, but we're going to try to make them happy with a pair of last-minute tickets to see the show at the Hollywood Bowl tonight or tomorrow night here on K-Rock. Kevin, I'm going to give you the opportunity to introduce our brand new game that we're very proud of.
Well, here's what happens is that we're in the office and we come up with a game. And if we like the name enough, we create a game to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Who was it? Omar? Chip? Somebody said Morrissey or Morris No.
So stupid.
I think Chip gets the credit. I think this came out of Chip yesterday. Yeah.
So then they said, all right, that's the name of the game. Now let's make up a game that actually fits the name. And so what I've done is I've come up with statements about Morrissey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have to say whether that statement is Morrissey, meaning yes, or Morris No.
Morrissey or Morris No. Morrissey or Morris No. Because he means yes and no means no. All you have to do is know.
know your Morrissey fun facts, this will be a pretty easy game, I guess, right?
I would think so, yes.
All right. So true or false questions about Morrissey. Who's our first contestant, please?
Let's talk to Robert in San Jose. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
This says you came for the Morrissey show.
Oh, my God.
Is that true?
I don't have tickets yet.
You don't have tickets, but you came from San Jose to go to the Morrissey show.
I'm here. I'm sitting in Burbank. I'm waiting.
All right, take it easy. We have five pairs, so if you get this correct, and it's basically a 50-50 shot, you will win. All right, so is this Morrissey or Morris Snow? Morrissey famously had problems with his record company. One of the biggest was in 1998 when he was encouraged to fire his band and record an album with Radiohead. Morrissey or Morris Snow? Say it again, Robert.
Morris No.
I'm sorry, that's Morrissey.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, now I feel bad because he came down from San Jose. But
Burbank's nice.
Burbank is beautiful. Jim in Ontario, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Morrissey or Morris No?
Morrissey or Morris No?
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
His nickname, Moz, started when Morrissey was mistakenly introduced to Prince Charles as Mazzeri.
Morrissey or Morris No?
The name was given to him in 1984 by Johnny Marr to make fun of the fact that he was always sad, and he used to call him Misery Mazzeri, and it just shortened to Moz.
Well, way to go, Jim. Jim got tickets.
Congratulations. You are in. Let's go to William in Alhambra. Hi, William.
Morning.
Morrissey or Morris No? Morrissey can currently be seen in an ad for PETA with a cat sitting on his head.
I want to go with Morrissey.
Morrissey is correct. Yes.
Morrissey or Morris No?
Yeah. Bean sent me a text yesterday. It was just a picture of it.
It's hilarious.
It's really bizarre.
It is Photoshopped, or do you think they took a picture of Morrissey with a cat on his head?
I imagine they took a picture with a cat on his head. Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume so.
All right. Two tickets down. We got three more pair.
Let's go to David in Long Beach. Hi, David.
What up, party people?
Morrissey or Morris No.
All right, that's what's up. Are you ready?
Ready.
Morrissey was asked to make an appearance on the sitcom Friends, but was asked to sing a duet with the guitar-playing character Phoebe and turned it down. Morrissey or Morris No?
Morrissey.
That's correct.
Morrissey. No.
Can you imagine having to pitch Morrissey on that?
I love it so much. I mean, she did have a hit with Smelly Cat, so you'd think she'd be in.
I would have loved to have seen that as well.
Yes.
All right. That's another pair of tickets. We still got two more pair.
Two left. All right. Let's go to Carlos, who's calling us from Fontana. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Morrissey or Morris No? You ready?
Yeah.
When Stephen Patrick Morrissey was born, May 22nd, 1959, his head was so small he had to stay in the hospital for almost a month. Morris No. That's correct. His head was so large it almost killed his mother in childbirth.
Whoa.
Oh, that's just
Morrissey,
right?
Yeah.
He would have had something else to be sad about, though. So he would have found a bright side to that.
He does have a huge head. And next up is Candy in Compton. We have one pair left. Hi, Candy. Hello? Is this Candy? Is this Rudy?
This is Rudy.
Okay, good.
Right, but you right go by line. Candy sometimes,
some people
right?
call you Candy.
I can go by Candy.
I went to the right line, but I called him the wrong name. Yeah. So Rudy is next from Baldwin Park. All right, Rudy, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
In his youth, Morrissey wasn't only interested in music, he was also an athlete. He ran track, and he was also a soccer fan. When he was eight, his dad met him to meet Manchester United superstar George Best, and Morrissey fainted. Morrissey or Morris No?
I'm going to say Morrissey.
Morrissey is correct.
Morrissey or Morris No.
You win tickets. That. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody but the guy that came from San Jose.
Oh, so sad.
Morrissey or Morris No.
See, because the correct answer was Morrissey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then if it wasn't a true fact, it was Morris No.
Right. I feel like maybe we're more entertained by that than other people.
It's very possible.
Okay.
Hey, you guys, Ralph has been on vacation all this week. He will return on Monday, but filling in on the movie beat is our friend, the movie man himself from 6secondreviews.com. Hey, Russ Leatherman, how are you, sir?
Happy Friday, guys. How goes?
First of all, it's Fry-yay.
No, it's not.
Fry-yay.
Nope.
You know what? I've been trying to be positive and stay, you know, happy about stuff. And then you got to throw that out right out of the gate.
That's our point.
Wow. You're not on board with Frye.
No
either.
One's on board with Frye.
Because Frye's stupid.
Right.
How about what Old Navy is trying to do, which is to turn the holidays into holidays? How do you guys feel about that?
For the love of God.
No, sir.
Can somebody cut his mic?
Seriously, Russ. Actually. Seriously.
Come Wouldn't on. Be the first.
Oh, there he is. Okay, bye-bye.
I'm sorry right, that happened.
All hey, right, well, wait a minute. So, Russ, so you yeah. actually see the movies. Did you see sort of. What's Up First Today, which
he
is
just
the
said sort of.
The star-studded Murder on the Orient Express?
I did. And for everybody who's – this is old-school movie making, and you guys are familiar with the Agatha Christie novel, I assume.
Sure, mm-hmm. yes.
Maybe you saw the movie in the 70s, and it's been redone a few times. So this is, for those of you who don't know, because it's kind of old – got this lavish train ride through Europe. It turns into a murder mystery. It's sort of like Clue on a train because somebody's dead on board. Everyone's a suspect. Here's a little preview.
I see evil on this train. A passenger has died.
Well, he was in perfectly good health. He had his enemies.
If there was a murder...
What is going on?
Then there was a murderer. The murderer is with us. And every one of you. He's a suspect.
And who are you?
My name is Hercule Poirot, and I'm probably the greatest detective in the world.
Look, I love Kenneth Branagh as an actor. I love him as a director, but that accent scares me. I feel like we're watching that. Remember that that remake of the Pink Panther a few
sure.
years ago, right?
Sort of. Do I sort have of. A massage?
Right.
It kind of
sounds like a joke accent, which concerns me. How
well,
is
that,
it, Russ?
That clip would make you not want to see that movie. Right? Like, just the accent is so annoying.
Right.
I will say the movie's better than that.
Good.
Hmm.
It is old. It looks fantastic. It is old school movie making. You've got a good cast. Johnny Depp, Penelope Cruz, Josh Gad. This is, I don't know that you pay $20 for it, though. This is more, we've talked about airplane movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a train movie. This is an airplane movie. Because you're just sitting on the plane. You got nothing better to do. You watch it, it's like, okay, that could have been worse. then you move on to the snacks.
I like the rating of that could have been worse.
That could have been worse. Okay.
But
all right.
You know what? I don't know if anyone's going to go see it, right? Because us old-timers, we think, oh, do we want to go see this thing redone? And for everybody else, they just listen to that clip and they're like, nah. So, yeah there's that. There's Murder on the Orient Express.
All right. All right, and we move on to the next film, which has an unusual title, but another great cast. It's called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I think this is one of the weirdest, best films of the year.
I'm so happy to hear that.
I really do. It is, for those of you who don't know, and I assume you guys have been talking about it, just because it's so different. It's months go by. You have a mother played by Frances McDormand who's in fantastic in everything she does. There are no arrests in the case of her murdered daughter, and she's pissed off and she's taken out three billboards poking at the sheriff and the detectives who are doing nothing about this case. Here's a clip.
Why did you put up these billboards?
My daughter Angela was murdered 7 months ago. It seems to me the police department is too busy torturing black folks and eating Krispy Kremes to solve actual crime.
Good. I'd do anything to catch your daughter's killer. I don't think those billboards is very fair.
The time it took you to get out here whining like a bitch, Willoughby. Some other poor girl's probably out there being butchered right now.
Where you keep a case in the public eye, the better your chances are getting it solved.
This reporter, for one, hopes this finally puts an end.
This doesn't put an end to anything. This is just a start. Why don't you put that on your Good Morning Missouri wake-up broadcast, bitch?
Oh, my God. Frances McDormand is the best. And, you know, we were talking last week or the week before with Rob Reiner about his LBJ movie. Woody Harrelson is the best thing in that. And he looks incredible in this, too, Russ.
He is. The whole cast is fantastic. Sam Rockwell. And the thing about this movie is it's drama, it's comedy, it's both. It's one of those movies that goes so far from one extreme to the other. It's kind of like Whiplash. It's like, really? Can I laugh at this joke after this horrible, terrible thing that's just happened? And that's what I like about the movie. It's not like anything else that's in theaters right now. It is just very, very different, very well acted. And Frances McDormand will certainly get nominated for an Oscar, if not maybe win. So it's the best movie of the weekend by far if you're looking to go to a movie theater.
Now, Kevin was thinking of Daddy's Home 2, I'm certain. What can you tell us about this one, Russ?
Was he really? You know what? Daddy's Home, that movie made a ton of dough, right? You've got these dads who are just trying to take care of their kids. Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, trying to make their kids happy on Christmas. What could make that worse? But their dads show up. John Lithgow and Mel Gibson. He's a fan favorite. Here's a clip.
This year, no more back and forth at Christmas.
We're not doing the back and forth.
Nope, I just said that.
Yay!
A together Christmas like a normal family.
A together Christmas.
Hello? Grandpa Kurt?
Dear God.
Thunder!
This is going to come off weird, Dusty, but he's beautiful.
Thunder! Why don't you bring the car around?
I'm not the driver. I'm Brad.
Stepdad?
My dad's coming too.
Dad? Red sweater. He wears a red sweater so I can see him in a crowd.
Everything is rock solid between me and Brad here. In fact, best friends.
Really?
Brad.
Thank you.
Stop it.
I'm good. Because we're boys.
Okay.
Kevin is cracking up.
Of course he is. Kevin, I know you saw the first Daddy's Home because you'll see anything Will Ferrell's in.
That's correct.
Did you love it?
I liked it a lot.
I didn't love it.
Okay, well, Will Ferrell can be funny, right? Mark Wahlberg and like I said, Mel Gibson, he's a fan favorite. But here, I did a little six-second review for this movie. Here's your six-second review.
The Movie Man six-second review starts now.
Daddy's Home 2 blows big fat... I'm out.
So put you down as a maybe?
Well, let me apologize for the anger behind that, what is actually a three-second review.
But in your defense, you had just seen the movie.
Well, no, in my defense, and Bean, you know I'm a big fan of this station. I love the music. I love being on with you guys.
Oh, here we go.
I love it more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I'm listening to the music. Uh-huh. And I hear a little thunder, thunder.
You do love that song.
It makes me want to kill people.
You love the song.
It makes me want to kill people.
I've seen it on Twitter. You love it.
And here's the thing.
So, in other words, that you're blaming the Imagine Dragons song for how angry you were when you went into the booth to record your six-second review.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But by the way, the movie's still a turd. Don't get me wrong.
All right, so Murder on the Orient Express, you're saying Take It or Leave It, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, is maybe one of the weirdest and best movies of the year. You're a big hard pass on Daddy's Home 2. We'll have to wait for Kevin's review on Monday. Do I have it all correct, Russ?
Yeah, Murder on the Orient Express, I'm in, but just the caboose. What?
Okay, all right. He is the Movie Man, Russ Leatherman, on Twitter at 6 Second Reviews and 6secondreviews.com. Thanks for the time. We'll do it again next time. Thank you.
Love you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, man.
You guys get PBS?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone gets
Kevin?
PBS. It's basic cable, Kevin.
Okay.
Everyone gets PBS.
You have PBS.
Channels that.
I swear to God.
I think it's 28 in L.A., but it may be different on your cable or satellite system.
I don't get it.
Public broadcast system. It's everyone gets it.
Kevin refuses to acknowledge that it exists. But I think I'm going to turn you around here, Kevin, because tonight on PBS is the debut of Foo Fighters, Landmarks Live in Concert, a great performance special. This is your favorite band, Foo Fighters.
Yes.
Recorded this past July, rocking Greece's ass off at the legendary Acropolis, a venue that is over 2,000 years old. Now, I would think the insurance on that alone would make it impossible to allow a band like Foo Fighters to play there. But let's talk to a man who knows because he is the host of the program and a longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Chad Smith, on the line. You guys from the Chili Peppers. Hey, Chad!
Gentlemen, golf clap.
It was a little weak. We apologize for that.
That's okay. It wasn't that good of a putt.
How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. I'm driving. Can you hear me? I'm driving home from dropping my child off at school.
All right. Well, we won't interrupt your dad duties for too long, but we were excited to see this concert series that you are doing. So you are what? You are the host and the primary interviewer of the artists involved each week, right?
Correct. I'm like dipping into your world. It's not easy.
Thank you for finally noticing, Chad.
All those years I've given you guys like a hard time, and I'm like, God.
No.
Aren't like, come on, work with me here. I'm trying to help.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens, but you're doing the right thing by hassling us.
So when you did this Foo Fighters show, did you tape an interview at a different time? Or were you actually there at the concert and tape them in the hours or days around this particular concert performance?
I wasn't going to miss this one. I mean, come on. How often do you get to go to one of the oldest cities in the world, the beginning of Western civilization, and then go see your pals play, you know, at a venue that no rock band's ever played? So I'm like, yeah, let's book it in between my Chili Pepper tour so I can go and hang out and enjoy it and be able to really soak in the whole thing. And it was great. I got to tell you, it was.
I think we did lose Chad.
Are you still there?
We had him. We lost him.
Oh, I think you dropped.
Did you lose me?
Oh, there you are. Well, he's back now. You're back now.
There was about a 15-second pause between what you said and did you lose me?
He was just really thinking about it.
So why do you think that they allowed this rock concert that potentially could, I would imagine, seriously, potentially could be damaging to the stone in the Acropolis? Why do they allow this show to take place, do you think, Chad?
I have no idea what they were thinking. I don't know. No. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, oh, good. Okay. Yes, they were just, you know, it's been there a long time. We know,
right.
But they didn't have Marshall Stacks 2,500 years ago either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was a dB level thing, a decibel level that they were concerned with. There was a little bit of red tape and they were concerned, but they really wanted to showcase their city and, you know, things in Greece have kind of been up and down a little bit, and I think that was part of it. And they just, I don't know. I think they just loved me, and I brought them bags of cash.
Wow, okay.
So, that helps.
Now, there's no better, I know you mentioned it was tough. It's always tough to interview people. It's even tough to interview your friends. And I imagine you and Dave Grohl must go back 25 years, I would imagine. You probably have run around in the same circles as Dave, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Sorry.
I thought there might be more after that.
There is.
Come on, Chad, work with us, Chad.
Work with us, for God's sakes.
He's good. A nice kid. Back in Nirvana, we played with them when he was just starting out. And it was a tour in 1991. We played the West Coast. And it was Pearl Jam was the opening band. Nirvana was the middle band. And the little Chili Peppers played after. Pretty good bill for $24.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You didn't charge enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a good one. I've known him since then. And, yeah, and then when the Foo Fighters started up a couple years later, they opened for the Chili Peppers for a long time, all over the States, Australia. We've had many games and hijinks and many other things that I can't talk about.
So understood, yes. Well, we talk often about how they make, I mean, they're not only one of the best rock bands in the world, they're in the conversation to be one of the biggest rock bands in the world. So it must have been a very special event for all those people in Greece to get a chance to see them up close and personal at the Acropolis. How many episodes? A bunch of episodes in this Landmarks Live series, Chad?
This is like the fifth one, and I got, it's been, Brad Paisley. The ripping country guitar player, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Andre Bocelli in Italy.
Nice.
The ripping singer.
Right.
But he plays piano, and we jammed at like his, you know, the Bocelli man cave in Bocelli World where he lives.
Wow.
That's the actual city.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Dolly World, it's Bocelli World.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
When I heard about the Acropolis, and that's just mind-blowing, my immediate thought was who I'd want to see and where. And then I read that you had the same exact thought. Spinal Tap at Stonehenge.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's, I mean, I would retire after that.
When is, right? When is that airing?
Can you guys help me?
I don't think
so. Oh, man. That's
that
a dream.
That would be the greatest ever.
That would be fun.
Have them reform.
Right.
And you know what? And then go play Stonehenge, but they probably never actually make it to the gig somehow. You know what I mean? I mean, that would be true right. Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Sure. Well, the drummer would die. It would. And, things and would
be,
happen.
Right.
Be stuck with a puppet show.
But only if you knew a drummer.
I think we know a drummer. All right. Well, this is it's a wonderful series. It's so beautifully filmed, and it's the most impressive place you've ever seen a concert being held in the Acropolis in Athens, Greece. You got to see it tonight on PBS. Kevin can help you find it on your local cable system. It's Foo Fighters Landmarks Live in Concert, a great performance and special hosted by our friend Chad Smith. Chad, we love you. Thank you so much for jumping on today. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Stay well.
Thank you. 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Remember last week, around this time for Keep It 100, we got to play the Aquabats doing Super Rad?
I do
remember that. In a million years, we never would have thought to play that song yesterday, but thanks to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, for weighing in with your favorite or any K-Rock song that you have ever heard us play. If we have it, we'll play it for you. Here's a sampling of what some of the previous weeks have been.
I smoked two joints before I smoked two joints.
Had a little horsey named Paul Revere.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
Oh, hell.
So it's your turn right now, 1-800-520-1067. You text us any K-Rock song you want to hear, and if we have it, we'll play it for you coming up after the top of the hour. Good luck. Have fun. Allie's in for Ralph with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Hey, yeah, we talked about it a couple times already, but Louis C.K.'s movie, I Love You, Daddy, the New York premiere of the film yesterday was scrapped ahead of allegations, five women coming forward about an abusive sexual misconduct that Louis C.K. subjected them to, essentially. That came out in the New York Times. And the fallout is beginning with him. The guys behind the movie I Love You, Daddy, the indie film company, said it's done, it's scrapped, we're not releasing it. So that's done. And on top of that, another woman, the third one, has come out against Jeremy Piven. So three for Jeremy Piven. If you're keeping score at home, I feel like we need just one website with the tally and what's going on so we can keep updating it, because it's so hard to keep track of it.
But Harvey Weinstein's still winning, right?
There's no winning, I don't think, in this particular case.
It's just disgusting. So Jeremy Piven has been accused three times, and Ed Westwick, who we know from Gossip Girl, a bunch of other shows, the second woman has now come out saying that she, too, was raped by him. And slowly, people are starting to say, okay, well, let's put some things on hold for Ed Westwick. So he has a show that was due to air on BBC One this Christmas, which was being highly promoted. It's Agatha Christie's Ordeal by Innocence. So they're not going to schedule a release until these matters are resolved. And he was also paused with filming on a second series of a BBC Two comedy called White Gold. So at least people are doing the right thing while these allegations are happening. Like, let's slow down.
Right.
Let's take a pause, take a breather. If it winds up being that these allegations are false, we'll reschedule it. Great. If not, you'll never work with us again, which I think is probably the right way to go with this. This made me laugh. Nicki Minaj, Grey's Anatomy's Jesse Williams, and John Turturro are getting ready for the holidays with H&M. So I thought, okay, the clothing company, maybe they'll have like ugly Christmas sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
No. They're stars of the retailer's new holiday film. So they have a new movie coming out.
I'm sorry?
I guess H&M is backing this movie. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the story focuses on a little girl tracking down the evil brother of Santa Claus in order to save the holidays. Right there, I'm in. You know me. And
you were in before, when they said Christmas movie.
Pretty much. But you know me. If someone is trying to ruin the holidays and people need to swoop in and save it, that's a good start. And then I read on. Nicki plays both the girl's mom and a fairy named Wisest Thingy.
I'm in.
Jesse is the father and the supernatural fastest fairy. And John Turturro stars as both Santa Claus and his evil brother. So what I'm getting is H&M is not paying enough because they need the stars to double up. And it's amazing. Fastest fairy, Wisest Thingy. Come on. Who's with me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm in. I think it looks delightful.
Hey, Allie.
Yeah.
What's the schedule like for your Hallmark Christmas movies?
Thank you for asking.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but do they come out with a whole slew of them every year, like five, six?
12 Days of Christmas. They've got it all. But I will tell you, the one I'm most excited about is on Saturday. It's Lacey Chabert's first one for this holiday season. So I'm going to decorate, and I am going to park my butt for Lacey Chabert's first movie on Saturday. Because I love Lacey Chabert. I love Candace Cameron Bure. I love Alicia Witt. Those are kind of my trifecta, my top three of Hallmark movies. But then you've got Lifetime that also does the Hallmark movies. Then you've got Hallmark 2. There are so many options, you guys.
Wow.
Are we still on?
We are, unfortunately.
Okay. But thank you for asking. Saturday. And my friend Kat Corbett might come over and we might drink and we might do our own little Mystery Science Theater. Just a test run in case we ever do a holiday podcast.
All right. There was some chatter, Kevin, of them doing a Hallmark Christmas movie podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where we break down the movie.
You should just call it, "Hey, Kevin, don't listen to this podcast."
Come on.
Although
two
if you're drinking.
Drunk chicks talking about the holidays.
If you're drinking, maybe now I'm in.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Sad news. We all remember him probably best as the caretaker Higgins on Magnum PI. John Hillerman has passed away. He was 84 years old. He passed away on Thursday at his home in Houston of natural causes. Did you guys watch Magnum PI?
Not
I
really.
Did not.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I've never seen any of the Harry Potter films. Take it easy.
I mean, well, Godfather. So I really shouldn't be judging you. But, wow. My mom loves, his name? The lead guy with a mustache.
The
Tom
guy with
Tom Selleck. Loves him.
So does Dave.
We would watch that growing up. So, yeah, Dave and my mom are the only two people to watch Blue Bloods. Oh, my goodness. Obsessed with it. And, hey, O.J. Simpson, you were released from prison on October 1st. Maybe lay low for a bit.
Oh, is he already in trouble?
Maybe don't go out to the Cosmopolitan Hotel, get so drunk, there's glasses breaking at the bar, have to be removed by security, and now you're banned from the property. What the F, dude?
Wow.
Seriously, what is wrong with this man?
No, this is best case scenario, because if he has to stay in Vegas, he is going to implode. That is going to happen, and he'll be back in jail.
My God.
Best thing possible.
And Bean, we were talking about, could this be like a violation of his parole, right?
Yeah, a lot of times those parole restrictions can involve a lot of things.
Yeah.
And one of them is being drunk and disorderly. And I don't know if that's the case in his case, but it sounds like he was drunk and disorderly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be crazy if he went back to jail? Wouldn't it just be insane? He gets out of jail finally. And ends right back up there.
Were the police involved? Because I think if the police weren't involved, maybe that
doesn't...
Oh,
if it was just like hotel security?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah.
But I hope so. Yes, that would be great.
Yeah,
an answer to your question.
Yeah. When you beat a double murder case that most people with a brain think you were guilty of, maybe
lay low.
Count your blessings and lay low for a bit. Watch some Hallmark movies. No, don't. Don't taint my Hallmark movies. Let's talk about some birthdays, you guys. The United States Marine Corps. Founded on this day in 1775. Happy birthday. 242 years old, looking great. Tracy Morgan, 49. Warren G. is 47. DJ Diplo is 39. And Jim Atkins from Jimmy Eat World is 42. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show is beat.
Every week about this time, we give you the opportunity to pick any K-Rock song you want, and we play it for you. It's a feature that we like to call Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100, baby. I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. All right, let me tell you what we're not going to hear this week. Greg and West Covina, I'm so sorry. Kid Rock, Bawa Da Baba, we're not going to be hearing, but that would have been fun.
Yes, it would have.
That would have sounded good to hear that from Senator Rock today, but we're not going to. And Texter 101 was Jason in Whittier. He wanted an all-time K-Rock classic, Love Plus One from Haircut 100, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
Remember Haircut 100?
Yes.
I like that a lot. But neither of them were number 100. That is going to be our friend Donna. I think Donna is in some imaginary place called the Yorupa Valley. Where the hell is that, Donna?
It's in the Inland Empire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't like to say I live in Riverside, so,
Oh, be proud, Donna.
Yeah, but not of Riverside, right?
Come on.
But at least at least you're in 951. You're not a 909, so that's okay, right?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't look at it that way,
Yeah, see, it's better. Well, thank you so much for listening and for texting in. What do you have going on this weekend? Anything fun?
I have a three-day weekend, so that's awesome, and I'm just going to relax pretty much.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. And what song have you selected to kick off the weekend for all of us?
I have selected the wonderful Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver by Primus.
Come on.
Way to go, Donna.
I just love hearing you say the title.
Do you approve, Allie? Do you approve?
I do. Good job.
That's a great request. Thank you. We appreciate it, Donna.
Keep it 100.
Somebody's alarm went off right in the middle of that. That'd be great.
Such a relatable song.
Chip, is that one of the all-time great bass lines in a rock and roll record?
Sure.
You did not sound committed at all. Primus is coming to town, by the way. They're playing the Wiltern on Friday night, December 29th, and Saturday, December 30th. Congratulations and thank you to Donna Bliss of Yorba Valley for requesting Wynonna's Big Big Brown Beaver.
Wow.
This word, I should have screwed up, and then I did.
I mean, that was a look into your beaver knowledge.
That was a great choice for Keep It 100. We'll do it again next Friday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
6.7 K-Rock is... Nope.
God
K-R-Q.
Damn it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
We didn't get as much Edmund Fitzgerald on the show today as I was hoping in celebration of the 42nd anniversary of the ship going down. But, we'll close strong.
Oh, no. See, it's happening again.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You didn't get that.
Are you having trouble with my connection to the studio?
What?
I can't.
It's been fine all day.
I can't figure out. What's happening?
I know.
I want you to hear this part of the song.
Oh, that's. It seems to be causing some malfunction here.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe stop it. Maybe. See if stopping it helps.
Does that help? Is that better?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Excellent.
That's hurtful, and it's disrespectful to the 29 men that lost their lives. I just want to say that. Hey, Allie's in for Ralph with our final look at the showbiz beat for the week. I hope you saved some good stuff for the last report here.
I did. How about some new Eminem?
Whoa.
Yeah. Right. That's yeah.
out of nowhere.
How about some new Eminem featuring Beyonce?
All right.
That's just too good to be true.
Yeah, it's a new single that's out now, I believe, on Tidal, called Walk on Water, Rick Rubin produced. And his new album, Revival, comes out next Friday, the 17th, just a day ahead of his SNL visit.
All right.
Holy crap. So here's some Eminem and Beyonce.
I walk on water, but only when it freezes.
It's the curse of the standard that the first of the Mathers disc set. Always in search of the verse that I haven't spit yet. Will this step just be another misstep to tarnish whatever the legacy, love, or respect I've garnered? The rhyme has to be perfect, the delivery flawless, and it always feels like I'm hitting the mark till I go sit in the car, listen, and pick it apart like this garbage. God's given me all this, still I feel no different regardless. Kids look to me as a god. This is if only they knew it's a facade and it's exhaustive, and I try not to listen.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Entirely without drums, so it's just you hear him so much more, which for some might be good.
That sound at the beginning is him writing.
I don't know. It sounded like he was going, and I was like, what's happening, Eminem?
He was writing, like, remember in Stan or whatever it was when he was writing?
Yeah,
he's sort of writing his rhyme before he spits it.
He doesn't sound like he's worked out all of his issues yet, by the way.
No.
I don't think.
He's still got some struggles.
I don't think homie will ever work all of them out.
Well, that is very good news, Allie. I'm very excited to have Eminem back. It's been over 4 years since his last album.
I'm excited about homie myself.
I did say homie. I'm just saying. Listen, Christine Fung, our lovely producer, she sent me this story yesterday, and I did not have time, unfortunately, to do a deep dive into it.
Okay.
But others have. So this is not coming from Conspiracy Alley.
Okay.
These are people on Reddit who are crazier than me.
Okay, if
but,
that's possible.
I don't know if you saw last month where a random Twitter user realized, oh, wait, KFC only follows 11 accounts, 6 of which named Herb, the other 5 Spice Girls. 11 herbs and spices, right? Funny. People's minds were blown. Everyone's like, that's incredible. You're the best for figuring this out. Well, turns out KFC sent him a lovely painting where it's him taking a piggyback ride from the Colonel holding a piece of chicken.
And it's just hilarious.
It's
that's
the greatest
strong.
Picture I have ever seen. Until Reddit.
Oh.
Said, yeah, it's pretty cool, right? Except that this guy didn't subtly figure out the 11 herbs and spices because he works for the PR firm that does advertising for KFC. Boom!
Boo!
Boo!
So they put out a puzzle and then they solved it themselves?
Exactly. Exactly. And I respect it. I'm not going to lie. Because if KFC was smart, they would somehow figure out how to make this painting with different people's faces. Because I would buy it. Christine's already in. It's the best picture. I believe Christine, who's been a vegan since she was in elementary school, when she sent me the story, she said, I haven't eaten chicken for like 20 years and I might just because of this painting. That's what this painting does to you. So they posted it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, so you can check it out and immediately see all the conspiracy theorists in the thread. Oh, you people have pleased me to no end. And if you guys are listening right now thinking, oh, I need a new job. What about a job that pays you $10,000 a month to live in Cancun, Mexico?
Yes.
Can I start Monday?
I'm saying. They are on the hunt for a new CEO. Cancun Experience Officer. This is Cancun.com. It's going to pay you $10,000 a month, cover all your expenses, and it's only for 6 months. You have to be available March to August of next year. And while the pay and benefits are obviously great, mm-hmm. you are going to be very busy working. This isn't a vacation. You're going to be expected to generate videos, social media posts, and blog posts for Cancun.com. Are you kidding?
I can't. I'm sure you're the guy for that, Bean.
I think I am.
I don't feel like you're going to experience any nightlife. I don't feel like you're going to go out to anything.
Yeah, you're going to need to be social. That's kind of the whole point of this.
Right.
You have to go down, show why Cancun is such a great place to visit, blog about it, do videos. Great. So log on to Cancun.com. And there's a pretty thorough job application, and you have to send in a one-minute video. And they're going to pick the top 100 candidates in December and weed it down to the top 50 on January the 4th. So, big stuff happening. And then you pack your bags and you move to Cancun in March.
I mean, all right.
6 months of work for 60 grand? Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's a good deal.
What's happening in the world? What's happening in the world?
That.
Okay.
That job.
And if you're just waking up and didn't see the big news yesterday, Rian Johnson, writer, director of Star Wars The Last Jedi, is now creating an all-new Star Wars trilogy. You guys, this is huge, huge news. The new trilogy, it's going to be separate from the episodic Skywalker saga, is going to be introducing new characters from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never explored before. All new stories. Not one, not two, but three. That's what trilogy means,
wow.
You guys.
What?
I know.
Oh, they're putting three movies
in
this trilogy?
Yeah, that's trilogy. Oh. Yeah, it's three. Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm, had this to say about Rian. We all loved working with Rian on The Last Jedi. He's a creative force, and watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys of my career. Rian will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy.
Oh, imagine having the weight of, I'm going to create a new Star mm-hmm. Wars world.
Yes.
With all of the characters and everything on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, he kind of alluded to that in his tweet. Rian Johnson tweeted yesterday after the news was announced, obviously, I hope you like The Last Jedi, but man, now I really hope you like The Last Jedi. So a lot of pressure, but I mean, just from that one quote from Kathleen Kennedy, he's the man for
That's
the job.
Great.
A lot of faith in him. So it's not all bad news, guys.
Right.
It's not all bad, like mostly bad news, like overwhelming bad
but
news.
But that's not.
But that's great. Also great, founded in 1775. The United States Marine Corps. They are celebrating their 242nd birthday today. Actor Tracy Morgan, 49. Warren G, 47. Diplo is 39. Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think? He thinks, wow, I celebrate a birthday with Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World. That's awesome! I'm Alan Kay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show this beat.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are heading out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today, starting at 5 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock. Enjoy that. And next week, we're going to start giving away tickets to Acoustic Christmas.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What was going on that was allowed?
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
So why not Bean? This is America.
Roll another one.
That's an airtight argument, though.
Just like the other one.
Hey, who?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Wow!
And I need another hit.
Well, I'm going to read my speech. I worked hard on it. In the words of Grandmaster Flash, you going high on that cocaine, you going crazy like a cocaine train.
Roll another one.
Yeah, good boy.
Just like the other one.
I got hot sauce in my bag. Sway.
How stupid are the people of Iowa?
Another cent.
This shouldn't even be on the air.
It doesn't matter.
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
Just pass it around.
Can't tell me nothing.
Hot fudge, holy moly.
We're going home. You guys should too.
Bang. Done.
Bang, done.
Yeah, that's the end of the meeting. When I say bang, it's over. You don't know that by now. Let's do it again. One more. Bang. You're still here. Do you need help out of the chair? What's the problem?
No, it was fun. It was fun.
It was not fun.
No, it wasn't.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go.
The mic has been dropped.
You're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, you f***ing freak.